Today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo! Turn on that microphone, my friend.
Burnsy, what is going on?
So, I understand while I was gone on vacation that you did away with Fruit Tuesday. You killed it.
I just said we've had enough.
It doesn't exist.
I mean, it was good. It was good. We may bring it back down the road.
It was a good laugh for a few weeks ago. Okay, you
kind of alive.
Yeah.
We're keeping it alive.
Oh, Sarah. Yeah. Sarah's
on
this for Tuesday afternoon.
It's people wanted it dead.
are you the man of the people? You're speaking for the people on this one.
People were tired of it.
Not what our mention said, but that's fine.
Wow. Oh boy, we got.
Yeah, there it is. Putting it to bed for a Tuesday.
Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. Well, we'll see.
Maybe we'll bring it back out of retirement.
It might have some incarnation at some point
maybe
down in the future.
Today's Pirates number
Tuesday.
At some point.
I don't even know why I brought it up. I noticed.
It's a Friday, Burns.
I noticed on Tuesday you nod your head in approval when I didn't call it a Fruit Tuesday, and I called it just a Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
You nodded your head in approval. I saw you doing it out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Fruit Tuesday is dead. It is dead. I'll tell you what's not dead. The rumors involving the Cardinals and what they're going to do at the quarterback position, and a little more fuel got added to that fire today. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
Jake Ruddick and Luke Falk.
Yeah, that's the two quarterbacks that are left on the Miami Dolphins roster after they traded Ryan Tannehill.
That's our top story of the day. Jake Ruddick and Luke Falk are the two quarterbacks remaining on the Dolphins roster now that Ryan Tannehill is on his way to the Tennessee Titans. And, brother, if there ever was a team that is screaming to make a deal for a quarterback.
Washington State kid.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I think Ruddick was a Michigan kid. Michigan. I'm not mistaken. Was it Michigan?
I
have to look that up. I think Jake Ruddick was a Michigan guy.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for it. I just clicked on his link. Okay. He's a Michigan guy.
There you go.
He's a Michigan guy.
That's the two guys left. The Dolphins. Listen, this. Not that this is a shocker. They were going to move on from Ryan Tannehill. We just thought it would be after the season was over that they were going to move on from Tannehill. They trade Tannehill to the Tennessee Titans, where the Titans have a quarterback who's never played all 16 games. He's a free agent after this season is over. They don't really know what they have in him. So Tennessee gets Ryan Tannehill. He'll be the backup to Marcus Mariota. And Miami doesn't have a quarterback. So obviously, the first thing we think about right now is, boy, I wonder if they want Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not the first thing that crossed your mind?
And where do they pick in the first round of the draft?
Where's their pick?
Where's their pick? Oh, it's 13th overall. That's better than the Giants' number 17 overall.
Now, listen, here's the only thing. If Miami calls, they're desperate. Now, a lot of people believe, and I was reading the Miami papers, it's a great quarterback class next year in 2020. They're going to have a boatload of cap space, and they could almost like have a tank season. They could just tank it this year. You know, just get one of the garbage quarterbacks that's out there, and there's a lot of garbage out there.
You could go get
RG3 or Blake Bortles or AJ McCarron or Mike Glennon, Ryan Fitzpatrick. There was even a suggestion in the Miami paper to get Colin Kaepernick. So, like, you tank this season, you get a top pick, you get your quarterback next year. Or you could trade for Rosen. I don't know which one they would, you know, is at the top of their list. Would they give up a first-round pick to get Rosen right now? I don't know. But obviously, it's the first thing that crosses our mind when a team just gets rid of their starting a guy that's been their starting quarterback since 2012.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I was reading the same story you were about Tannehill. I never would have guessed he was 30 years old. The brief career of Ryan Tannehill with the Miami Dolphins went by so fast.
Real quick, name one thing you remember about Ryan Tannehill's career.
The knee injury.
And then Jay Cutler had to come in and play.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
He didn't do anything.
Converted wide receiver. That's what I remember about Ryan Tannehill. Used to be a wide receiver in college, and they moved him to quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what I think about when I think about Ryan Tannehill. He's had the most unmemorable career.
You know what I think about?
What?
They still haven't had a quarterback since Dan Marino left.
Yeah, they still
have. They still have not had a quarterback since Dan Marino left.
All right, so we can talk about the Rosen possibility, and certainly you would think that would exist. There are they are said to have been interested in Rosen a year ago. Now, that was under a different coaching staff. I don't know if some of the scouts are still in place. But when Adam Gase was the coach there, they were said to have been very interested, very intrigued in Josh Rosen. I don't know if that's changed or not. But let's not just look at the Dolphins as a possible landing spot for Josh Rosen. Let's look at the Dolphins. And I don't know if the Cardinals would want to go down all the way to 13 in the draft. But if the Dolphins want to move up to number one, they would have to put together a haul. And I mean a haul of picks.
13 to 1 is very similar to what the Rams gave up to move up. The Rams moved up 15 spots. You'd be moving up 13. You know, and the Rams, obviously, the Rams to get Jared Goff gave up the number 15 overall pick, a second rounder, another second rounder, a third rounder, a future first, and a future third. Now, they kicked in a fourth and a sixth, but that's what they ended up with. 2 seconds, 2 thirds, 2 firsts. So if you could get 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and 2 thirds from the Dolphins and you drop to 11, you do it. Like, you do it.
13.
So if somebody said to me, and we're just speculating here,
totally
because we have no idea if Miami has any interest in Rosen or not. But if the package is similar to what the Rams gave up, you're talking about 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and 2 third-round picks to move up and to move down to allow them to, you know, to come up and take the number one pick if they wanted Kyler Murray.
Now,
that's not Josh Rosen. That's if they wanted to move up to get number one.
Now, I remember you and I talked about this, and I think we sort of decided that 13, we were looking at 15-2 with Washington, that is about as low as you would want to go if you're the Cardinals. You wouldn't want to go, and I don't even know if you'd want to go that low for sure. The lower you go, the more you're going to get in exchange. So there is a benefit, I guess, to going down that far in the draft, is you're going to get that many more picks. Would the Cardinals want to go all the way down to 13 if it meant the Dolphins trying to package a bunch of picks to move up to number one?
But that would be to move up to number one to get Murray. That's completely out of Rosen, because Rosen would be... You know, Rosen would be different, right? Rosen would just be a straight trade. Like, the Cardinals would give Miami Rosen, and Miami would give them the 17th pick in the draft.
Look, the
and then they don't draft the quarterback. But there's a lot. See, here's the thing that's scary to me. This is the thing I worry about a little bit with these quarterback needy teams.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying the 2020 class is going to be unbelievable. So if that's the case, are these teams going to, you know, try to, you know, is Miami
tank, in essence,
tanking for the 2020 quarterback class?
Yeah, Tua Viola, Justin Herbert, the Clemson kid doesn't come out for a couple more years, so it wouldn't be him, but 2 years from now, he would be out there. I don't know. That's a good question. And if you're the Dolphins, you might say, you know, we're not going to give up our 13th pick in the draft. We're going to go out and sign Blake Bortles.
Jake Fromm from Georgia is another kid.
Okay.
KJ Costello from Stanford is another kid. There's a Jacob Eason from Washington. So there's, you know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks that, you know, that I don't know if they're all available, but it's insanely stacked is the word that everybody's using. The 2020 quarterbacks led by Tua Viola. I mean, a lot of people think he's going to be an absolute superstar. And so if you're tanking and you can get him, or like Justin Herbert, who probably would have been the top quarterback in this draft if he was coming out right now. If Justin Herbert was in this draft, I don't know if we'd be talking as much about Murray. I think we'd be talking about teams trying to move up for Justin Herbert.
Possibly.
I do.
Possibly, yeah. Look, if Tua Viola ends up being Kyler Murray 2.0, teams might, you know, if the Kyler Murray thing works, Tua Viola's stock might go up even higher next year in the draft. I don't know. All I know is this. Of all the teams that might want a quarterback, might be willing to either trade up to number one with the Cardinals or acquire Josh Rosen in a trade, whatever the Cardinals decide to do. The thing about the Dolphins that pops off the page, and I think you would agree with this, they are by far the most desperate out of all the teams. Everybody else has a fallback plan. Raiders have Carr. Giants have Eli and probably get Haskins if they stay at 6. The Broncos went out and they made their move for Flacco. Washington went out and they made their move for Keenum. All these other teams can say, well, we can get by with what we've got. We've got a guy. It's okay. Dolphins don't have a guy. Dolphins have nothing. Dolphins have nothing in the position. There's no fallback. They have garbage right there. right now. Now they can go
Stu and Gotts.
Exactly. That's their starter at quarterback. Stu Gotts. That's what his jersey is going to read.
Might as well be.
Yes, they're desperate. But they can go get a guy. But I mean, come on, Blake. How are you going to sell Blake Bortles to your fan base?
Listen, if you want to smack me for bringing this up, I will give you a free punch. I'm going to give you a free punch.
Oh wow! Wait, hold on.
Arms, whatever you want to do, I'll give you a free punch.
Cracking my knuckles right now. All
I'm
right,
going to give you. Listen. So what we used to do with my boys sometimes, you know, when you. You know, when you got a really hot girl, you took a shot on the chin. That's what you did.
What?
Yeah, when you ended up with, like, a really hot girlfriend, you'd take a shot on the chin. Everybody got a free shot at you.
So, like, if I ended up with a really hot girlfriend, you got to punch me?
You're married, so I hope you don't.
Well, no. I just mean...
Why is it the guy who gets the good-looking girl's fault that he gets the good-looking girl?
You got to take it. You take the shots.
Yeah, you grew up with a group of people, man.
You get a shot. We took shots. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. If you ended up with somebody super hot, you took a punch to the jaw.
Who was the judge of the beauty? I mean, some guys might think this one's attractive. Others may not.
Probably Frank.
Oh, okay.
Frankie Peach.
He wore the white wig.
That was it. Like, all right, you're going to have to listen. You know, you would take a shot. You took shots in the chin. Like, just 5 or 6 punches right to the face.
Just for what it's worth, yeah. I can feel Sarah Cazell's migraine through the glass. I can feel her migraine coming on through the glass. You're sending off waves of pain right now, Sarah. Just waves of it.
Yeah, I honestly don't even know what to say.
But I want to find out.
Can I get back to my point?
Okay, yeah, let's. I want to hear the point. I want to hear why I get to punch Gambo, and the hot girl thing. We'll just set that off to the side for a second because that's fascinating.
All right.
Why do I get to punch you?
2020 mock draft.
Oh my God, I am gonna punch you.
You got a free shot.
Oh, I am totally.
I'll give you a free shot.
Punching you for that.
Tampa Bay, number one, Tua Tagovailoa. How do you say his
Tonga
last name?
Viola.
Tonga Viola. Number two, Jake Fromm. Number four, Justin Herbert. Three, this is Walter Camp's 2020 mock draft. Three of the top four guys they have as quarterbacks right now. The quarterbacks, so you could be Miami and you could say, I'm going to get rid of Tannehill because he's going to help me win 7 games. And I'm going to bring in... I'm gonna bring in some scrub, and now I'm going to win 2 games. And I'm going to have the top pick in the draft. Now, you might be saying to yourself, I only need one of the top 4 picks, or top 3, because I got to get one of those kids. I got to get Herbert, I got to get Fromm, or I got to get Tagovailoa. I got to get one of the 3. So I just got to be bad. I got to go win 3 games. And that could be their plan. It might not be, let's go get Josh Rosen.
They appear to safely be in. But if the Sun Devils win the Pac-12 tournament, how high could they go? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. We'll keep talking about ASU.
Good song.
It is a very good song. And framing the conversation in this sort of mode of desperation, like, okay, are they in? Are they okay? Are they safe? Are they going to make it, right? Very rarely, Gambo, have we considered the possibility, what if they win this Pac-12 tournament?
You know what? We always, we're pessimists.
We are.
Where's the optimism?
We're inundating people with negativity about ASU.
Where's the optimism?
A little positivity on a
always
Friday
worried,
afternoon.
Always worried that they're not gonna get in. They're going to blow it. The net ratings, some of the losses. They didn't play good. They win a lot of games.
They played very well last night. What was it? Yeah. I mean, Bill Walton, so take it with not only a grain of salt, but a whole shaker of salt. But Bill Walton, I think, last night said it was Casey Jacobson at halftime. It wasn't Bill Walton, it was Casey.
Yeah, who's Casey gonna come on they weren't gonna get in.
Casey, who's coming up on the show a little bit later, said, look, if they play defense like this the rest of the tournament, they're gonna win this tournament.
Well, they play Oregon next. Oregon today. I think that's an 8:30 game. It's a late game. They play Oregon.
Correctamundo, 8:30 tonight.
You know, win that game, go to the championship. Yeah, win the Pac-12. And what the hell? Why not? Listen, Casey Jacobson thought they were the second best team in this conference by far, only to Washington. Washington's played 2 games and they've kind of struggled in their games. Like they struggled last night against USC. So, look, maybe they could win this thing. Now, ASU played Oregon. They split the regular season meeting. Each team won at home. ASU won at Wells Fargo, but they lost over there in Eugene. They got clobbered in that game. But now you get another shot at them. So if you can win this game, you're in the championship. If you win the Pac-12 tournament, maybe we're not talking about an 11 seed or a 10 seed. Maybe we're talking about an 8 seed.
That's probably the number I'd put on it.
Yeah, move up a little bit.
If you could win the Pac-12 tournament, I think you move up to an 8.
I watched Florida beat LSU today. I watched Florida. They beat LSU. That was an 8 beating a 1 in the conference tournament. So that could upset things a little bit in the SEC. You know, St. Mary's had a win over Gonzaga. So St. Mary's had a huge win. It's, you know, so now that helps. So there are some teams.
St. Mary's stole a bid from somebody.
They stole a bid, yeah.
They stole a bid from somebody.
There are some teams that are going to steal some bids. But nobody's stealing a bid from ASU. It's not going to happen. They're going to get in. I mean, it doesn't. I didn't even think it mattered what happened in the game yesterday.
You know what?
Which they won convincingly. It was a good game. They won. So I feel pretty good about their chances to get in now. But now you're right. Now let's talk about where can they get to.
Well, okay.
Can they get a better seed?
Let me bring back in a little negativity just to kind of keep it real. I gotta present a fair and balanced account of what's going on here, because I gotta tell everybody what is going on among the people who do this for a living. Joe Lunardi still thinks they're in. Still thinks that they're a 10 seed. Still has them among the last four buys. And again, I'm going to keep saying this for our audience, and maybe no one's heard us say this before. Gambo and I, our definition of in is very different than somebody else's definition of in. For us, playing in one of those first four games, that ain't in. That ain't in. Like no. What they did last year.
You got to win that game to get in.
That's not in. You got to win that game to get in. I want in. I want Thursday or Friday.
I want your name to be alone on the bracket, not shared with somebody.
Not with a slash.
I don't want a slash
in between it. No slash.
No slash.
Just your name on the bracket line when I fill it out. So to me, first four is not in, which is why I got Lunardi saying they're in. They're a 10 seat. And they're one of the last four teams to have that bye, to not have the slash, and not have to play the play-in game. Jerry Palm over at CBS, even with last night's win, still has them as a first four team, as an 11 seed, playing on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. I thought we were done with that.
I thought we were done with that.
I thought with last night's
win, Jerry?
We were done with that. You know,
maybe, and Jerry's got something against ASU, like those Hollywood moms,
Lori Loughlin, Massimo's wife from Full House. Maybe my daughter, she can't go to ASU. I got to get her into USC. Yeah, maybe
he's a social blogger. You should have went to ASU. It's a great school for that.
There's no doubt about it. So that's what the latest bracketology says. But back to the positivity for a second. If they can win this tournament.
Positive, then went negative. No, back to positive.
Well, okay. Yeah, we're kind of ping-ponging right. Back and forth. Okay. Yeah. Can you keep
so
up
now
over
now we're back
there?
To positive. I'm just trying to follow you.
Wow.
Yeah. Following the lead.
I'm driving this thing as best I can.
You went
man.
Negative, now you're going positive.
Yeah, go left, I go right, and I go right again. Yeah, it's all good. If they can win this thing, win this whole Pac-12 tournament, I think they're in as an 8, which probably doesn't make that much of a difference when it's all said and done. You'll face
They've never won this tournament.
No.
ASU's never won it. They were in the final, I think, in 2009. Now, Oregon, who they're playing, they've won the title four times, most recently 2016. So we'll see if they can win this game. I think that they, you know, sigh of relief that they won the game last night for anybody who was still kind of worried that, I'm just not sure. I mean, they got another win. Their record's good. Their net rating moved up a little bit. I did notice that. Their net rating went up a few more spots.
63, right?
Okay, yeah.
Moved up four spots to 63.
So, I mean, that's a positive. That helps a little bit. I feel good about their chances to get in. I'm going to look like you. I'm going to look at it like, hey, win this game today, win the championship, and then who knows? Maybe you get an even better seed. You're the Pac-12 tournament champions with a good record. Now, the conference isn't any good. We all know that. And I'm sure the conference would love to see somebody get in and win this thing, a Colorado or an Oregon or somebody who's, you know, who has no chance of getting it. Because right now you got Washington, they're in. You got ASU that's in. If a surprise team can win it, that would get you another team in, and it wouldn't be embarrassing just being a two-bid league.
It's funny. Joe Lunardi was a guest on Bickley and Marotta about 3 weeks ago, and that's exactly what he said. He goes, I bet secretly in the halls of power over the Pac-12 that's exactly what they're rooting for. That they're rooting for Washington to be in, ASU to be in,
and have Oregon or Colorado or somebody win this.
So you're spared the embarrassment of being just a two-bid league.
Right.
You know, and then you get the three bids, and at least it looks a little bit better. Bobby Hurley last night, uncertainty about the bid? What uncertainty?
Yeah, I'm just going to start by saying after this game, what uncertainty? And then next I'll move on.
So he's flying that confident flag. Good for him. Zylan Cheatham talking about what it would mean to make the NCAA tournament.
It would mean the world to me, obviously. As a competitor, that's what you prepare for. That's what you want to do. And to take that next step as an athlete and add to my legacy, I think it will mean the world to me and my program. So that's the approach I'm going with. Just taking it day by day. Try not to look too far ahead or too far backwards. And maximizing each day.
Wouldn't mean the world to him. You're going to take that away from him? It means the world to the kid to get into the NCAA.
Well, I don't want to take it away from him.
No, but that's what, before kids even dreaming about being in the NBA, they dream about, going to the NCAA tournament,
sure,
going to the Final Four, the Sweet 16. All this stuff, that's the dream first.
Yeah.
You got several dreams, but that's your first one when you're a kid.
You mentioned Florida today beating LSU.
Yes, that's a game. Very
big win for them.
Exciting game.
Lenardi's bracketology today, he had 16 teams, kind of his last 16 teams. The last four byes, the last four in, the first four out, the next four out. So 16 teams. Of those 16 teams last night, 7 of the 16 lost. 5-1. No, I'm sorry. Only 4-1.
4-1. Okay.
4-1. Florida won last night. They won again today. Ohio State won last night. Alabama won last night. And Arizona State won last night. Five teams didn't play. So of the teams that were really either in but barely in or out but barely out, 16 of them, there were 7 of them that lost last night, which is not going to help their case when it comes to trying to get in. And certainly you would think bolster ASU, who won fairly easily over UCLA.
There's a thing called bracket matrix. I know you've brought it up before.
Yes.
Going into the game yesterday, ASU was in on 92 out of 119 brackets. I imagine that bumps up a little bit after they got the win last night.
I would think.
And some teams lost. So now it might be 100 out of 119. But they're in most brackets. They're in the vast majority of brackets.
Well, the NFL's free agency period is starting to slow down. The grades are rolling in. And for the Cardinals, the bag is mixed. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
And with it, Sarah Cazella standing by with today's Twitter Poll question of the day. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, hello.
What you got for us today?
All right, I know you guys talked a little bit about ASU hoops already, but let's take one slight deeper dive. If ASU wins out in the Pac-12 tournament, what realistically, and that is really the key word here, realistically, what is the best seed ASU can get in the NCAA tournament? Right now, 36% of our voters say the 8 seed. 8 is the best they can get. 24% say 7 or better. 21% voted for a 9 seed. And 19% voted for a 10 seed. So very spread out.
Yeah, I don't think they could jump all the way to 7. One of our listeners, Phil, tweeted both of us a moment ago and said we don't want the 8-9 seed because then we have to play the 1 seed in game 2.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, that's
good
point.
Not,
you might not want to go that high.
You may want the 10-7.
You might want to stay at 10,
yeah,
so you can face a 2 in the second round. I saw one, and this is, okay, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I did see one bracket a couple days ago. I think it was Lenardi's, and I think he has since changed it. He had ASU as a 10, and if they won, they would play Duke as the 2. Which is one of those perfect, made-for-TV,
Bobby Hurley against
Krzyzewski. Oh, it's exactly the kind of thing the selection committee just loves doing.
I think Arizona fans, Phoenix Suns fans can watch Zion and RJ.
Perhaps, yeah. So that was a couple days ago. I think he's changed it. But all right, good poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo. Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us here from the Octane Community Studios. I'm Dave Burns. He's John Gambadoro. We are the Burns and Gambo Show. And the grades are starting to roll in for Cardinals free agency. By the way, J.R. Sweezy, R.J. Sweeney, but J.R.
Not R.J. Sweeney?
R.J. Sweeney will not be joining us, but J.R. Sweezy will be joining us at 3 o'clock today. So
people say our jobs are easy. You think it's easy to do a radio show and then, breaking news at the same time? Not easy.
Apparently it's not easy at all. The grades for the Cardinals in free agency, and boy, is it a mixed bag. Sometimes from the same website,
I'm
for goodness sake.
Fascinated by this. This just blows me away. I take Jordan Hicks, for instance, okay? Just take Jordan Hicks. ESPN, I think it's Barnwell's piece. He great. I actually killed a whole tree today. I feel terrible. I actually printed that out. It was 100 pages.
Oh.
I literally took a whole tree down today, and I feel awful about it.
Don't ever print a Barnwell piece.
I hit print. I wanted to see his grades for free agency.
Just copy and paste the important stuff to a Word doc and just print
my
that.
My wife's going to kill me because, you know, she's an environmentalist, like, you know. So I just, yeah, so I all feel right. terrible about what I did today.
So when you're busy
printing 100 pages.
When you're busy ruining our kids' future, what did Barnwell have to say?
He had a score for Jordan Hicks of a C-.
Okay.
Hicks has a $12 million signing bonus, $9 million in dead money that will come after releasing him in year one. Suggests that this is at least a two-year pact he should take home. But he goes to say, Hicks has missed 19 games in four seasons, completed just one 16-game season. So he gives him a C-. I mean, that's a, you know, for me, that's a good grade. For a team making a transaction like this, it doesn't look that
for
good.
For you in high school, if you were not cheating off of Gina Ficarra, yes, C- would have been a great grade. For a team looking to make a free agent splash, he sums it up by saying, I understand the upside exists with Hicks, but his history suggests that it's unlikely to show itself for long stretches of time in Arizona.
Okay, so that's
his injury history.
Okay,
yeah.
So then a different ESPN story. The five most underrated deals in the NFL. Jordan Hicks. 4 years, $36 million, $12 million guaranteed. His deal paled in comparison to Kwon Alexander, Anthony Barr, and C.J. Mosley. And when he's on the field, he's the best of the bunch. Hicks played 775 snaps in 2018, was the highest graded of the group. He's missed only 25 tackles for his entire career. A figure Alexander has topped in single seasons. Hicks has proved to be good in coverage, something vitally important in today's NFL. What? He sucks. He's great. Oh, this guy's terrible, awful signing. C-. Oh, this guy's going to be one of the most underrated deals in the entire NFL. Like, I mean, which is it? Like, how do you have two separate writers that contradict themselves as badly on Jordan Hicks as these two ESPN guys did? That's what happens when you fire half your staff with ESPN. I mean, you don't know what the hell's writing anymore.
Jordan Hicks today talking about the numbers that he can put up here, the pride that he takes in being here. Are you capable of having career years here in Arizona?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I expect to. That's the expectation.
Takes pride in leading the defense from the middle linebacker spots?
It is. Take a lot of pride in it. There's a lot of preparation that goes into it. There's a lot of understanding schemes, understanding how teams are trying to attack you specifically with your defense. But, you know, you take a lot of pride in being able to be the communicator, to be able to, have that role that everybody's looking to step up in those times. You know, when it's fourth down and two on the goal line to win the game and you gotta get the big stop, you know, everybody's looking at you in the huddle to get the call and keep everybody calm and confident. And that's something I take a lot of pride in, being poised in those situations.
But to your point, it just goes to show how subjective this whole thing is. It just goes to show that one guy can look at Jordan Hicks and say, yeah, I like him, good player. He does this, he does that. Another guy can look at Jordan Hicks and say he's always hurt. And it's that simple. You can look at one player and derive whatever it is that you want to derive from him. For Bill Barnwell, he sees a guy who misses too many games to give that kind of money to. For the guy who wrote the other piece,
says when he's on the field, he says, 775 snaps, yeah. Highest graded of the group, missed only 25 tackles his entire career. That when he's healthy, he's the best player out of all of them. Better than Kwon Alexander. Better than Anthony Barr. Better than C.J. Mosley. He's better than all of them when he plays.
Pro Football Focus loved the Hicks signing. Loved it.
Right.
A great grade. Said it was one of the best free agent signings of the offseason.
I thought it was a great signing. It's my favorite one so far. Out of all the signings, I think that's the best.
All subjective. It just depends on what you see when you look at Jordan Hicks.
Let me give you a couple others. I'll get your takes on it. The trade for Marcus Gilbert. They gave the Cardinals a B+. This trade likely will be for the Cardinals' compensatory pick, which comes in at number 207. The Steelers once drafted this immaculately named Cap Boso with the 207th pick, but given that they were likely to release Gilbert, if a trade partner didn't arise, this is essentially a salary dump, but it just said the Cardinals badly needed offensive line help. Talks about how he's missed 23 games to suspension and injuries, but that he's a good player. Robert Alford, they gave a D+. I mean, were we not raving about the Cardinals getting a great second cornerback?
We were.
And they, you know, it says the problem, though, is that Alford was one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL last year. But he played hurt. Like I know that. He played hurt the entire year. He wanted to play. They were begging him to come out of the lineup in Atlanta. He said, no, I'm going to play. So he played through injury the entire time. He allowed 8 touchdowns as Atlanta's primary defender in coverage on plays both short and long. The Falcons gave up 11 pass plays of 35 yards or more, and Alford was in coverage on 6 of them, including 4 in one game against the Giants. So, like, they really knocked this signing by the Cardinals. Before last year, Alford had been a fantastic cornerback. Last year, he got hurt.
Yeah.
He played hurt the entire season. He probably shouldn't have played, but he's a gamer. He wanted to play.
I mean, if I'm giving out grades, I mean, for me, I think the one I would give out the lowest grade for is Marcus Gilbert, just because he is so injury-prone and has been so injury-prone for the last couple of years. I just don't know how many games you're going to be able to get out of him. The Alford signing, I love the Alford signing. I thought the Alford signing was fantastic. But again, here's the thing with free agency. I mean, what did you call it? Fool's gold? A couple of weeks ago? Okay.
Yeah.
Half of these guys are not going to work out. They've signed, what, 11, 12, 13 guys?
Garcia, Hundley, Sweezy, Hicks, Suggs, Gilbert, Clay, Reed, Alford, Vallejo.
Okay, you're kidding yourself if you think they're all going to work out.
And then the wide receiver, Kevin White.
Kevin White.
That's 11.
You're fooling yourself if you think they're all going to be great. If you think they're all A-plus
signings. What I look at? You know what I look
at? Because they're not. It doesn't work that way.
One of the things I enjoy doing is finding out who else was interested. And I'm always able to – people can report who's signing where, but I like to report what teams are interested in these guys. The one thing about Robert Alford that I can honestly tell you is that the Cardinals beat out several teams to get him. The Lions wanted him. The Jets wanted him. The Bucks wanted him. The Titans wanted him. And the 49ers wanted him. He had a high ankle sprain last season, week 4. Wouldn't sit out. Would not sit out. So he played with a high ankle sprain, and it ended up giving him a bad grade.
Igor Kokoschkov is still, wait, let me check. Yep, he's still the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, but that hasn't stopped one reporter from already throwing out a candidate to be his replacement. And it's a name you're going to be curious to hear about. We'll tell you who that name is next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Suns, Rockets tonight, 5 o'clock tip time on ESPN 620.
Who are they playing tonight?
Oh, God. They're playing the Houston Rockets tonight, Gambo.
And what does that mean for the Rockets?
Bad news for the Rockets!
Bad news for the Rockets!
Can I make a request?
Sure.
If we're going to cut out Fruit Tuesday, can we cut down on this as well?
You know,
is this a necessity?
I'm thinking maybe just cutting down on your
on
updates.
Me? On me?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you want to do them, Gambo?
Yeah.
No, we don't want Gambo doing the updates. No, we do not.
No, we don't cut down on bad news for the opponent. Zara.
Okay, but you would admit it's failure rate is pretty high, right? I mean, we can...
In defense of the bad news, the Suns losing has nothing to do with us doing the bad news.
Exactly right. What, are you superstitious?
I don't know.
You think that has an effect on whether they win or not?
When they finally turn this thing around, Gambo and I will surely be in the front of that bandwagon leading everyone on the charge.
Yeah.
That's true. But for now, it's an empty gesture.
It really is. I mean, yeah.
Call it whatever it is.
It wasn't bad news for the Jazz the other night. They waxed the Phoenix Suns.
It was not bad news for them.
It was not bad news for the Jazz.
You didn't hear DeAndre Ayton saying that the reason why he struggled against Rudy Gobert was because he didn't get a bad news for the Jazz?
Will you sift through the post-game comments from DeAndre Ayton and play that for me? I would really appreciate that.
We inspire the team with it.
Well, we'll see. They
play it in the locker room.
Tyler Johnson will not be inspired tonight against Houston. He has been ruled out by the Phoenix Suns. He will not play. T.J. Warren obviously still ruled out as well. He is not going to play.
T.J. who?
TJ Warren.
Heard him.
I remember him. This would be now 21 straight missed games for TJ Warren.
He's not going to be able to come back this year. I haven't officially shut him down. I don't know why.
What, 13 games left?
If he comes back, you just want to show that he's healthy, but
he's got to get in shape.
He's not in basketball shape.
He cannot be in game shape. Can't even be close to being in game
13
shape.
Games left?
I think it's 13. I'm not totally sure, but I think it's
the draft
13.
Lottery.
And
who are they getting? RJ? Are they getting Zion? Are they getting Ja Morant? Who are they getting in the draft?
And then there will be a question of who their coach will be, should be, is going to be. There will be speculation about Igor Kokoschkov's job this offseason. There's no question about that.
I did see the sporting news story today.
There was a sporting news story today. I'm going to read it, not word for word, but I'm going to go over the highlights of it. Okay.
Yeah.
The headline is
Luke Walton will be a wanted man.
I'm going to tell you
the coaching market.
What I read, and then you tell the folks what you know. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So here's what I read. Source told Sporting News that Luke Walton is seen as a top potential replacement for Kokoschkov should the Suns make a move, that he could look elsewhere given the dysfunction in Phoenix, that Cleveland might be a possibility for Walton so he could help develop Colin Sexton. One league source with knowledge of the situation, quote, he wants to stay in the game. For most front offices, I think you look at what he did in Golden State, what he did in L.A. before LeBron came, and you have to say he has a good, solid resume developing players dealing with stars. That same unnamed source went on to say, quote, I have to think Phoenix would jump on him if everything falls into place, but he might get a better offer, close quote. That's what I read about this today on the Sporting News website.
You want to know what I know?
Well, that's how we set this whole thing up. So, yes, let's proceed with that.
Snowball's chance in hell that Luke Walton is the head coach of the Phoenix Suns next season.
Wow.
Not a snowball's chance. You could take it to the bank. You could put the mortgage payment on this one.
Oh, boy.
You could put the mortgage payment on it. You go to Vegas, whatever you got to do. He's not going to be the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. Dysfunction. The team's undisciplined. They're discombobulated. They're loud, disrupted. It's an awful atmosphere in L.A., and he's the head coach of it. He's had no success as a head coach. He may have experience, but he will not be coming over to Phoenix to be the head coach of this team.
I hear every word you're saying.
Yes.
In defense of Luke Walton, for a second, that dysfunction is not his fault.
It's a lot of it's LeBron.
All LeBron. There's none of that. I mean,
he's got LeBron James. He can't even get the damn team to the playoffs.
That's a mess.
He's got LeBron James.
LeBron James and Magic Johnson single-handedly conspired to trade every single player on that roster going into the trade deadline. How is that Luke Walton's
fault? You're going to hire a guy who's got 140 losses and 92 wins to be your head coach? He coached the Lakers for 3 years. The winning percentages were 317, 427, and 456.
I'm just saying, of all the reasons you're going to give for not hiring Luke Walton, you cannot pin the dysfunction of the LA Lakers as the reason why you don't hire Luke Walton. I would agree. He wouldn't be my top choice. But I just don't think you can use the dysfunction in L.A. and say, oh, man, he couldn't manage that situation. Nobody could manage that situation.
Fine. I mean, we could argue that, and you're probably right. I wonder who could have handled it. Phil Jackson might not have been able to handle that. I don't know. But the reality is he's not going to be the head coach of this team. Now, they haven't made a decision on what they're going to do with Igor yet. They'll wait till after the season, and then they'll make their decision. But if they do a coaching search, if they decide to move on after 1 year and they do a coaching search, it's not going to be Luke Walton.
I got to admit, I read the story, and the first thing I thought of, and I mean the very first thing I thought of, was this sounds like somebody out there is trying to create a marketplace for Luke Walton when he gets fired by the Lakers. You know, someone's trying, hey, Phoenix might want him, but he might go somewhere else because of the dysfunction in Phoenix. Almost like, okay, we all know Luke Walton's going to get fired when the season is up. And he wants to coach, so somebody in his camp, somebody connected with him, is doing their best to create.
All right, so I'm going
to create demand for Luke Walton. And what better way to do it than to start with this idea that the Suns would jump all over him if he were available to try to make it sound like teams are lining up for him?
Listen,
it's a total plan.
You're exactly right. I'm just going to tell you right now. Like I have agents contact me to push their guys on me for jobs in organizations here.
Of course.
I represent this guy. Can I send you some information? You know, I got a message right now. Hey, Gambo, good talking with you. I attach more information on blank. It should be noted that this guy was his top assistant. There's files on these guys. You know, so I have agents contact me to try to sell me on who I should push. You should push this guy on your show. This guy would be great. This guy would be a good GM. This guy would be a good coach. So I constantly get information. I'm looking at emails right now from people that want to push certain guys to be coaches or GMs here. So that stuff happens. But I'm like, Luke Walton's team It's very dysfunctional there. He's very undisciplined. It's not a good situation. It's not a good atmosphere. He wouldn't be one of the guys that would be considered if they even go in a different direction. He would not be considered.
Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast?
I have.
Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. We'll give you the show every single day, digitally delivered to you, the Burns and Gambo podcast. You can listen whenever you want. Brought to you this week by AutoNation Chevy. He's leaving Seattle to come to the Cardinals. What made Arizona so attractive for the former Seahawk? We'll ask new Cardinals guard J.R. Sweezy that question. He'll join us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.